What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Better part of the next 3 hours. I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Score listener line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Fantastic lineup of guests. Robert Triano was booked for us this evening. Those guests will join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And any breaking news, you know what? Everything that's been going on in the Bears world, the football world here over the last, let's call it, 24, 36 hours? News may break, and if it does, breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Bears got their guy. They got the guy. I mean, you know, he's their guy now. I guess anyone the Bears would have hired would have become their guy. But they got the guy, the man of the moment. All the chatter around the National Football League had been, where would Ben Johnson choose to go? Been able to be around football for my entire adult life and been playing it since I was in high school. Wasn't allowed to play organized football as a youth in suburban Chicago. Trojans, the youth football league in the southwest suburbs. It's too big for that. It was over the weight limit. They didn't let me play Trojans. So I had to wait till high school. But been a minute. Been around this sport, playing it, coaching it, covering it for decades now. Most individuals involved in football, they're usually trying to ply their trade in a way where other folks will desire them. You're trying to put your best foot forward in a way where you're hopeful that someone will believe that you're excellent at what you do, whether that's as a high school player trying to get on the field, hoping for a starting job, eventually get to the point you're hoping to play well enough when you're on the field, you're trying to get recruited to college football, playing in college, hoping to get that good film out there, you get a shot at the professional level. When you're a pro, the vast majority of guys playing in the National Football League are guys like me. You're just hopeful from one season to the next that you do enough to keep getting that next gig, stay on a roster somewhere. Ben Johnson, as a coach, has been excellent enough in calling the Lions offense in recent seasons. His players, his schemes, his fundamentals, his situational awareness, all those things have been deemed exceptional enough over the 3 years that he was the offensive coordinator and play caller for the Detroit Lions that the National Football League, the football world, has been waiting for Ben Johnson to say that, you know what? I've had enough of this whole OC thing. I know you guys have been waiting on me to go get the big whistle. I didn't want it last year. You know what, Jaden Daniels? You go find somebody else to coach you to the playoffs. All these other jobs that have been coming open, quarterbacks that have been hoping for tutelage. Most of the programs out there over the last 2 years have wanted Ben Johnson. You have heard the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, coming off his rookie season. We were playing the sound when I was on the other night. And all over the station, on the podcast, the St. Brown Brothers podcast, Caleb and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Equanimeous, but Amon-Ra is the guy who's been the main playmaker for Ben Johnson in Detroit the last few seasons here. Caleb was talking to those guys about Ben Johnson very openly, discussing and describing in very positive and hopeful fashion how impressed he is with Ben Johnson, what it might be like if Ben Johnson comes to the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't know what exactly the line is for tampering and what have you. I'm sure many of you have seen the catfishing that took place where someone gets a hold of Caleb's old cell phone number, convinces him to FaceTime with them under the guise of being Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson has been pursued. Ben Johnson has been desired. Ben Johnson has been the apple of the football world's eye for about a year and a half. As much praise as has been heaped upon Dan Campbell as the Lions head coach, there has not been another coach in waiting, another next guy to get the big whistle that's been as acclaimed over the last 2 years, last two seasons, as Ben Johnson. And now it has finally been out there that he was ready, this coaching cycle, ready to take a job. And out of all the teams in the National Football League that were ready to hire a new coach, that were looking for that next guy, that were hoping someone would come here and be the dude that would develop their number one overall pick QB, that would nurture the skills of this roster, take this team to another level, the Chicago Bears are the ones that got Ben Johnson. Shout out to Ryan Poles. Shout out to Kevin Warren. Shout out to George McCaskey for getting that done. I know it excites you. Most of you out there, you know, Bears fans are not a monolith. Sports fans, just human nature, often look for reasons that things might be prepared to go wrong. And I certainly have no idea how this is going to work out with Ben Johnson now being the Bears head coach. I was mentioning this earlier on the midday show. Maybe Mike McCarthy would have been the choice that made more sense. We've at least seen Mike McCarthy win games. We've seen him as a head coach. He's run multiple teams before, led them to double-digit win seasons and playoff runs and has a Super Bowl. The Bears have been doing plenty of due diligence. They've interviewed more than anyone in this cycle. They've had all kinds of candidates rolling through Hallis Hall. So they've been doing their homework because they haven't had any guarantees that they were going to be able to land Ben Johnson. But they did. And credit to them for getting that done. Cutting a big check, I think it oversimplifies that if we just look at the money that's reportedly in that, you know, maybe $13 million plus kind of range. But if you just even look at that on its surface, the Bears being willing to cut the big check, willing to give Ben Johnson that bag, as though he is already a proven commodity as a head coach. Even that's a big deal. Now, it doesn't shock me. I've been telling you guys for weeks, whether it's on this station or folks stopping me on the street, asking me about it, folks tweeting at me, at Big Ann Heron. I've been telling you for a while now, I don't think there's much evidence, there hasn't been in recent years much evidence, that the Bears wouldn't be willing to pay what it costs to go and get a high-level coaching candidate. But beyond that, beyond being willing to actually cut the check, how do they make themselves seem appealing, enticing? Well, I was on a few nights ago. I was comparing the Bears' opportunity to some of the other head coaching jobs that were open around the National Football League. Dallas Cowboys, they don't have any cap space. The cap space they do have, they're about to spend on Micah Parsons. And they've got an owner slash GM in Jerry Jones. Jerry's won a lot of football games as owner slash GM and used to win Super Bowls many moons ago before a lot of you were born. But there was a time where the Cowboys were winning Super Bowls. But if you're worried about the ownership meddling, if they're overly involved, if they're getting in the way from the football guys, kind of, you know, mucking up the process a little bit, then Jerry Jones would be the poster owner for being the guy who's probably more involved than he needs to be. I didn't see the Cowboys as an opportunity, as a job, as a role that would be more enticing than the Bears. Jacksonville Jaguars, they got a little bit of cap money to spend. And they've got a quarterback who's at least more proven than the Bears QB, but they've already invested in Trevor Lawrence. And there's still a fairly sizable question mark on Lawrence as a QB. There's some talent on the roster in Jacksonville, but it's kind of underdeveloped. And then you also have the general manager, Trent Baalke, who isn't really that well regarded around the league. The job that had really gotten a lot of discussion for whether or not it would be the main competition for Ben Johnson to maybe nab him from the Bears became the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, the Raiders, they don't know what they're doing at quarterback. They got a bunch of cap space. They don't have a great roster. But Tom Brady is a part, is a minority part of the ownership group. So between cap space and the greatest quarterback of all time being involved with things, that seemed to be the main elements that folks were worried about, whether or not the Raiders would be able to nab Ben Johnson over the Bears. I didn't really think it, you know, again, I try to be pro-logic in the way that I evaluate these things and what my expectations are for how folks will handle things. My impression is that comparing those two scenarios, where the Raiders are versus where the Bears are, yes, the Bears are in the deepest division in the National Football League. That's the main sort of detractor when evaluating where the Bears sit right now. The Bears have cap space. The Bears do have skill position talent. The Bears have defensive talent. Can you enhance all these other spots? Yes. But where the Bears lack most is offensive line and defensive line. They've got draft picks available, and they've got money to spend. But chief amongst those, what's most exciting, what's most enticing about this is that the guy who's been hailed as the one of the top offensive minds in football, one of the best play callers in the sport, is that now Ben Johnson, as he's evaluated Caleb Williams, and he's been willing to reference this publicly, that he's extremely impressed with the Bears quarterback. That matters so much. Because when you're a guy, especially in your first head coaching opportunity, when you're stepping in, hoping to win, thinking you're going to be able to take this thing over, put it in, make it, shape it in your own image, and have success with it, you want that QB. And to be able to have a QB in the position that the Bears quarterback is in, where he's played 1 year of professional football, so he's still, in some ways, this moldable lump of clay. He hasn't developed a million bad habits from elsewhere. He hasn't had to learn three other offensive systems. He's a guy who's got 1 year of professional football. So now there is a catalog that's being built by Caleb Williams. He's got a lot of good things on film, a lot of bad things on film. And you can evaluate him at this point and still have a number of years of cost control of a controlled salary for a young, talented quarterback to now try and nurture him in the way that you see fit. And all reports point to that being the key cog, the main motivator for Ben Johnson in taking this job with the Chicago Bears. That and $13 million. Maybe 15. Give or take. Who knows? But he'd have gotten money anywhere because of how he's viewed on the landscape here. So again, shout out to the Bears for making this happen, because there's a lot of competition that was out there. A lot of folks were desiring Ben Johnson to become their head coach. The Bears were the ones that were able to make this happen. So it's one thing for Kevin Warren to say, you know, this is the most desirable job opportunity that's there. But then you still have to, when you're pursuing these different candidates, you still have to be able to present it in that manner where you seem enticing to that candidate. And the Bears apparently were able to do that, seemingly knocked it out of the park by the quickness that this moved with Ben Johnson. Most folks didn't think the Detroit Lions were going to lose over the weekend. You know, you got Bears out there interviewing Eddie George and other candidates, and just, there was a lot of names on the list for the various people being considered by Chicago. And again, doing due diligence, that helps, that makes sense. I'm all for it, because you never know what was going to happen with Ben Johnson. So if Mike McCarthy is going to be that next candidate, if Eddie George is going to surprise you and do something else, if Mike Kafka is maybe going to be the OC who's in here, or, you know, who knows. But to be able to evaluate all the individuals they did, but then when their guy finally became available, when the clock struck midnight on the Lions season, they moved swiftly and they got the deal done, and they do deserve credit for that. It doesn't guarantee him anything, though. So this, now that they've gotten their guy, this is where the work truly begins. To put the coaching staff in place, to put a plan in place, not only for Caleb, but for the roster top to bottom, to make it not just competitive, because all these games the Bears lost, they were competitive in most of them last season. That's why last year was so frustrating in evaluating the Chicago Bears, because they did compete at a high level, and they lost over and over and over again. So how do you tighten the screws to the extent that now the Bears can become a legitimate winner? Not just a competitive squad, but one of these teams that will go in there, because the expectations for next season, frankly, it's going to be the inverse. Last season's, the 2024 expectations should have been a bit lower than they were. Now I'd say the 2025 expectations, I wonder if they maybe should be a bit higher than they are. We'll see about that in the weeks and months to come here. And a lot of that story will be written by what they end up doing with this roster. But I hope you are enjoying, I hope you are excited about the Bears being able to get Ben Johnson. Not because you think it guarantees them anything, but the process that needs to be laid here, the groundwork that's in place and that's being cultivated, getting the hottest coaching commodity on the market, that is a huge first step in this offseason for the Bears that we all hope will build towards some 2025 success. Got a great lineup this weekend, and it's going to be very, very Ben Johnson focused, very Ben Johnson centric throughout the show. Nick Baumgartner will join us in just a couple of minutes here. He hosts the Welcome to Detroit podcast. He's an NFL draft writer for The Athletic. Colton Pouncey, Lions beat reporter for The Athletic, will be on with us later in the show as well. Chris Emma, certainly going to be out at Hallis Hall tomorrow. Looking forward to talking to Emma about everything he's expecting to hear from Ben Johnson and others as the Bears prepare to officially introduce their next head coach. And the preseason voice of the Detroit Lions, Jason Ross Jr., he's been able to evaluate Ben Johnson up close over the last couple of seasons here, that he's been the voice of the Detroit Lions during their preseason games. Looking forward to talking to Jason on the air here tonight as well. Going to talk to you later in the show, too. We're going to fire up the meatball machine on the Odyssey app. You've seen it. I was the incubator for it. I was part of the test case for premiering the voicemail message function in the Odyssey app with 670 The Score. We'll fire that up later in the show as well. But for now, let me take a time out, come back, have our first guest on the show to really dive into some of the particulars on exactly who Ben Johnson is and this path that has led him to now being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Nick Baumgartner will join me next on this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Score.
You want your coach to be like offensive-minded, or you want him big picture?
I want him.
And then have the coordinators.
Like selfishly, I want an offensive-minded guy, so I can build with him and, you know, be with that coach for the next 19, 17, 15 years.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was the voice of Bears quarterback Caleb Williams right before he hired right before the Bears went out and hired former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. Again, congratulations to the Bears for making that happen. Now it's time to actually put the work in and really turn this thing into a winner. But get the hottest coaching commodity out there in the market. Certainly deserve some congratulations. Congratulations galore. Go out to the folks at Hallis Hall, taking a big step, getting the guy that everybody wanted. So we're going to spend a good amount of time throughout the evening here talking to folks who have studied, folks who've covered, folks in some cases who've even been around in great detail Ben Johnson himself, just in an effort to introduce you to the next Bears head coach before he gets an opportunity to address the assembled media tomorrow when the Bears make the official introduction. So first up, let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And let's talk to Nick Baumgartner. He's the host of one of the great podcasts that's out there right now covering the Detroit sports scene. Welcome to Detroit is the podcast. He's also an NFL draft writer for The Athletic. And his podcast, Welcome to Detroit, a part of The Athletic's podcast network. Nick, how you doing this evening?
Good, Anthony. How are you?
Outstanding. Appreciate you taking the time to join me here. So it has been an exciting day and a half, essentially, since the news hit that the Bears got the guy that seemingly everyone wanted to be the next head coach here. Bears fans have gotten an up-close look at how Ben Johnson has operated with the Lions offense over the years that he has been running it. So what is your evaluation here? Is the excitement well-founded in Ben Johnson as the next Bears head coach?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, frankly, that he took the job. And I think that I think it speaks to how much, you know, he thinks of Caleb Williams. And I think probably it speaks to how much he thinks of the front office situation there, because, you know, knowing Ben for a few years now, and obviously he turned, you know, jobs down last year, and then even the year before, you know, turned some things down as well. And he talks so much about alignment and, you know, making sure that the ownership and the general manager and everybody's on the same page as the coach. And like, when we think about alignment, normally we think that means everybody's kind of being hired at the same time at the ground level, kind of like they had in Detroit. But, you know, I mean, he's had his talks with them. And I think the biggest thing here is the chance to coach Caleb Williams was probably too big of a deal to pass up on. And the fit there alone is outstanding. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams should be able to do a lot of really cool stuff together. Don't know if it'll happen overnight, but, you know, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
What's your impression of why Ben Johnson has, to your point, been reportedly turning down opportunities as a head coach? He's been interviewing for a couple of years now, but go back to even perhaps as far as three seasons ago where there's been some degree of interest. So what's been this degree of patience that he seemingly displayed that not everyone, when head coaching opportunities begin to sort of churn, not everyone's as patient as Ben Johnson has seemingly been up to this point?
Yeah, and I think that's a great word for it, is the patience. I mean, there's not a lot of coaches, I don't think, right now at that level that are as self-aware as in their whole situation and kind of where they're at in life right now. And as Ben Johnson, he's one of those guys that it reminds you a little bit of like the Brad Stevens in a way, in that Ben didn't have to be a coach. You know, he has a computer science degree, was like a math wizard in school, like could have done anything else in life and wanted to be a coach. And this is really a labor of love for him, and something that I think he's told himself at the very beginning, like, I'm not going to do a job unless I really know or think that I'm going to really enjoy it, or I'm ready for it too, you know, in that sense. And I think 2 years ago, he knew he wasn't ready to be a head coach. And I would argue even last year, I, you know, when we would hear, you know, what's his staff going to look like, it was still a little thin on, you know, his networking and everything. So I think he took his time smartly and also was like, you know, I'm not ready to leave a team that's really good and go to a team that doesn't have anything. And, you know, obviously the Bears have some talent. So I think that that's best of both worlds, a big market. I'm sure he got a lot of money too, which doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, he has reportedly gotten the bag. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And for the resume he's put together as an OC, then he's earned that. But he has only been an OC. That's the highest station that he's advanced to in coaching up until now. So what has he been like in interactions with the team? And are there elements of what you've observed, what you've been around, that lead you to believe, you know, you have a sense for what he'll be like as a head coach?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how everybody, you know, on all sides of the ball, and I think it'll depend on the staff and who he appoints in certain spots, because I think he's going to need help from his staff, because, you know, he's never led a full room like that. But he's a very intense guy who I think is really easy for people to get along with once they get to know him and all that sort of thing. You know, him and he and Jared Goff developed a terrific, you know, rapport, and I think that everything Goff had talked about, you know, and they started working together when Goff was kind of at rock bottom, and he sort of rebuilt him. And I think that sort of, you know, he was a backup quarterback himself in college and everything. Like, I think he's going to do really well with Caleb and the quarterbacks. I think he's going to have a great relationship with everybody on offense. I think he's going to make, you know, raise the standard. He's a very intense guy. He's not afraid to yell at people, but also, like, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff. He asks a lot, you know, and I think it's one of those demanding type things that once you get a lot of young people in there who are excited, and once Caleb sees everything that they're going to do, I'm sure he'll be, you know, kind of leading the pack in that whole charge. I think that the offense will click quickly, but the defensive side is really the thing that you don't know with these offensive coaches, right? Because they've never led, you know, a full team, and it's like, what are you going to do with everything now? So that's the big question, is can you tie everything together and play complementary football, or is it just going to be an awesome offense with everything else kind of misaligned? So I guess we'll see.
And I'm struck by the development of Jared Goff, because Goff was, of course, the number one overall pick, mm-hmm. and he had already, you know, led a team to a Super Bowl as a quarterback under Sean McVay's tutelage with the Rams before coming and having to sort of be rebuilt by Ben Johnson, and Dan Campbell certainly deserves plenty of credit for that as well in his time with the Lions. What was the process that Ben Johnson went through to try and nurture the skills of Jared Goff and eventually get the best out of him?
Yeah, it was really unique, I think, you know, because they were at such an interesting point, you know, where Goff was like, it can't get any worse. And I think the Lions were also sort of like, it can't get any worse. And, you know, Ben Johnson's approach with it, I think, was twofold in that, you know, they wanted to build an offense that fit what their talent had and what they were going to do within, you know, their own system there in Detroit. But also, I think Johnson wanted to take things that Goff had done well, be it with the Rams, be it in college at Cal, even high school, whatever. Like, if there was a couple concepts that Goff liked, Ben immediately put them in and found ways to get those, you know, those things working, whether it was dress them up in different formations or whatever. So the best part about this is that they will not run the same offense as, you know, as what the Lions did. It'll be different because the Bears have different personnel, but he will do all the things, you know, if Caleb likes A, B, and C, A, B, and C will be in the offense. You know what I mean? It'll be whatever the quarterback is most comfortable with, that's what we're going to do. And that's number one for him, I think. And I think that that comes across with everything else. And when you have a quarterback that guys want to follow, it's easier for that to go across. And guys rallied behind Goff and everything kind of took off for the ride. But the offense was completely built around what is Jared Goff like, what does he not like, and, you know, sort of what does he want to do. And Goff had a huge hand in the whole thing. And I assume Caleb will probably also have a hand in installing what they install there in Chicago.
And to give the quarterback a level of agency in that, mm-hmm. it's one thing to do it with the QB when he's been around the block a little bit, as Jared yeah. Goff had. And I think there's a number of Bears fans who maybe have a little bit of shrapnel left over from seeing Shane Waldron, a guy who had some success in Seattle with a veteran QB, mm-hmm. but then he came here to Chicago and had a rookie quarterback and didn't have any idea how to work with a young right. quarterback and try to develop Caleb. How has the developmental phase for other young players on that Lions offense, how has that gone with rookies, first and second year guys? Right. Are there examples of how Ben Johnson has sort of worked to get the best out of them?
Yeah, so I think that it's twofold there. I don't think he gets all the credit for that because they do have a very good staff. Dan Campbell's got yeah. one of the better teaching staffs in football. You know, Antoine Randall-El has done an awesome job with not only Amon-Ra St. Brown, but also Jameson Williams. Hank Fraley's been terrific with the offensive line. They've got Scotty Montgomery over there now with the backs and the run game and everything. So they've got they all work really well together. The one thing I would say that Ben always got compliments from everybody on that staff about was he did a really good job of taking everybody's input at all times and making everybody feel involved in what was going on. There's always this, like, you know, we always hear the smartest guy in the room, offensive coordinator, is the guy that doesn't want anybody to touch his stuff and everybody to move anything around or change anything. And I don't think that was ever Ben Johnson ever. I think he was very collaborative, just like their sort of idea for the whole group here with Campbell and Holmes. And I think Johnson was that way with the rest of the staff. You know, he was a guy that was basically a tight ends coach who was a nobody when Campbell rolled into town. And then, like, you know, 18 months later, he was running the show almost by default. So he was very deferential and respectful to other coaches, and I think that helped a ton with reports. Like I say, again, it's going to be important to see who he brings in on the staff, you know, because if you got guys in there that are selfish, you know what I mean, it can be a problem with a young coach like Ben, because I think right now in Detroit, he had Dan over top of him, so it was no problem, but it was never an issue. I think they always had a really good rapport there, and I think that'll be a big thing too.
Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic, an NFL draft writer and host of the Welcome to Detroit podcast, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And that staff that's there, it just seems like everyone around the National Football League is looking to pluck up a bunch of Dan Campbell's assistants right now. Not only Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, but others interviewing for various positions around the league. Here in Chicago, do you feel like there's main candidates that Ben Johnson worked with, respected, what have you, in Detroit that might be most likely to join him in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm curious. There's a couple. You know, I think Hank Fraley is definitely one to look at, the offensive line coach, right? I mean, Hank's already interviewed in Seattle, I think, for the OC job. He could, of course, interview in Detroit as well, I would imagine. So that's one. Tanner Eggstrand is another one who was a passing game coordinator with him this past maybe 2 years, I want to say it was. Engstrand's also worked with Jim Harbaugh at a couple different spots before, so he's a pretty sharp guy that a lot of people have their eye on. But that's another one where I wonder if the Lions, you know, try to even keep both of them and make them kind of a dual thing. But, you know, Ben could probably offer more money in that sense. You know, and I don't know. Hank Fraley is probably the top one that I would go hardest at if I were him, because the offensive line is going to be the hardest thing for him to replicate there. You know, Caleb gives them even more than Goff gives Detroit, obviously, from a talent perspective. And they've got some weapons, you know, that can move and everything on the outside. But they don't have anything close to that offensive line right now. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. They're going to want to root the thing in the run game. And they've got a lot of work to do there. So wouldn't shock me if they look for a guy to lead the offense that's, you know, in the lines a little bit, too. That could be where they go with it.
And I still have nightmares about chasing Antoine Randall around as a Chicago area high school football player, and then in the Big Ten as well while I was at Iowa and he's at Indiana. Amazing. Now he's been a successful receiver coach there in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Is he likely to get elevated by the departure of Ben Johnson, or could he perhaps get consideration?
Yeah. That's another one right there that, you know, you'd look at. I'd call him if I were Ben as well. And, you know, Detroit's going to have their hands full, you know, with, you know, Randall L was on that. His first coaching job, I think, was on the Bucs team, the Brady team that won the Super Bowl. And, you know, he's been one of those guys that kind of like Mark Brunell, that his first job was in the NFL was with the Lions. And it's been just seamless. He went from a guy who played for a long time, then didn't coach for a while, and then got into it and has just been amazing at it. So I think he is 100% a guy that could also be on the rise. Yeah, the Lions could get raided here a little bit if they're not totally careful. But I think Dan Campbell's also got a lot of other folks up the sleeve. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, you know, the Lions staff is obviously very talented, and they're kind of the bell of the ball from what's happened the last couple of seasons here.
Right.
But it's not like they've won a Super Bowl or multiple Super Bowls or anything like that. It is intriguing.
Right,
yeah, I mean, they've really gotten a lot of respect around the league quickly.
I think it's the fact that they were just the place. They were so bad when they got here. And, you know, to get that thing turned around in, you know, basically 3 years, I think, is with, you know, obviously, like you said, it's weird because they haven't won a Super Bowl. But in some ways, the reclamation project of the Lions is almost, it's not as impressive as winning a Super Bowl, but I feel like it's like the second most maybe impressive thing you could do. So, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's been really impressive what they've been able to do there in Detroit, and it's essentially who the Bears hope to be when they grow up one day. So we'll see whether or not they can make that happen. Nick, spectacular stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking the time to join me this evening.
You bet, anytime.
That is Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic and the Welcome to Detroit podcast. We'll have a lot more specifically about Ben Johnson throughout the evening with guests joining us on the show here, just to give us a little bit more detail and an inside look at who Ben Johnson has been in Detroit, what his path has been to get to this point. We'll get into some X's and O's about what Ben Johnson has been as a play caller and what's really made his offense cook while he's been the Lions OC as well. Matter of fact, after this timeout, we'll hear from one of the guests who was on the afternoon show, one of the great offensive minds in the sport during his time as an offensive play caller and a head coach in the National Football League. We'll run back some of the sound from Mike Martz and his description. He was a guy who helped nurture the coaching skills and the football acumen of Ben Johnson. We'll get some Mike Martz sound for you next on The Score.
Now Gibbs stumbled after taking the snap, but it doesn't matter. Connects with LaPorta for a Lions touchdown. Even when something goes wrong, it goes right for the Detroit Lions.
It's really supposed to be LaPorta who's right there that's going to kind of stumble out of there. And I wonder if that was a trick play, because now it looks intentional. You have Jahmyr Gibbs fake falling. You have Jared Goff fake stumbling. And then all of a sudden, LaPorta comes screaming out the other side for a touchdown. That was a nice trick play by Ben Johnson.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
South sounded live on Fox. The Bears took on the Detroit Lions, and it had Jonathan Vilma sort of figuring out in real time what was going on, because none of us knew exactly what was happening in the initial viewing of what was essentially a fumblerooski type of play. And then, you know, upon further review, watching some replays, oh, that was the stumble bum was completely on purpose. That was exactly how the Lions planned for it, and it worked out great. That's the example of the type of creativity and imagination that Ben Johnson has had as an offensive coordinator, as a play caller, the way that he's been able to trust his players after coaching them up, going through the details, preparing them for that moment, and then they're able to execute it at a high level in competitive game action. Now, it's one thing to do that when your sole focus, when your prime objective is to be the creative offensive mind, and you got a bunch of talent that you've nurtured within your system for multiple seasons. It'll be a different thing to have the big whistle. It'll be a different thing where not only will he be tasked with teaching and introducing and implementing and then calling on game day the Bears offense, but he'll also have the responsibilities of being the head coach, deciding when you're going for fourth downs, making sure that everything's still squared away with the defense and the special teams, being the, at times, dictator for the roster in all phases of the game, the disciplinarian when that's necessary, to be the public forward-facing voice, representative for the Bears in all aspects of the organization. So there's a lot more that will be on the plate of Ben Johnson as a head coach than he's ever dealt with before. But there's no doubt he's shown all kinds of acumen as an offensive coordinator and play caller. Another individual who we saw ascend through the coaching hierarchy was Mike Martz, and he's been a frequent guest, especially on the afternoon show here on The Score in recent years. And when you think of, you know, like my time in the National Football League in the early 2000s, the, you know, kind of the late 90s when Kurt Warner was really coming into his own with the Rams, the greatest show on turf, Dick Vermeil was the head coach, Mike Martz was the offensive coordinator, and they just had this kismet that was going on there. And so Martz was one of the great offensive minds in the sport. He came and joined Levy Smith's staff for a while here in Chicago as well. Didn't exactly mesh at all times with Jay Cutler, but, you know, who did mesh at all times with Jay Cutler during his football career? But Mike Martz was on the station yesterday after the news broke that the Bears had nabbed Ben Johnson to be their next head coach. Martz was on the station, and one of the first things that Spiegel, and at the time Grody, was filling in for Lawrence yesterday on the Spiegel and Holmes show, they asked Mike Martz specifically about just Ben Johnson, the play caller.
Well, to me, it's the most critical thing about coordinators on both sides of the ball. And so many of them just don't get it. You know, you've got to be able to adjust for what you see out there. You know, when something comes up that you haven't seen out of that team before, you got to be able to change gears and attack at a different level, be able to put together at the last second, and the guy's got to be able to execute and understand it. And he does that. Not many guys do that. How many guys have the ability to adjust? They're stuck in what they do, and we'll just do a better kind of dumb stuff. But he doesn't do that. He's, you know, he's that guy that can be very creative, switch gears. Oh, they're blitzing us now first and second down. It's something they haven't done in the past. Oh, here's what we got to do, you know. He has an answer for it, and that's incredibly important, and not very many guys in the league do that.
It's encouraging to hear how creative Mike Martz views Ben Johnson as being, because, you know, Mike Martz, his football brain certainly carries a lot of weight, and he still stays close to the game. He still watches these teams, these players, these coaches. And yes, he knows Ben Johnson, no doubt, but doesn't mean he has to speak highly of him. And you know, you understand why he's been so impressive, why Ben Johnson has been so impressive, and so why Mike Martz is willing to sing his praises in a scenario like this. The way he describes what the Bears are getting in Ben Johnson as a head coach, so Mike Martz was that guy who made the transition from high-level offensive coordinator to getting the big whistle as a head coach, and it's not an easy transition to make. They asked Mike Martz specifically about just what Ben Johnson may have the ability to become as the head man.
Most definitely. The big thing is, players in the NFL, if they know that you know it, you can help them get better and help them win, they're all ears. Mm-hmm. Then you got them completely. And not, you know, the first few weeks or so, a guy gets with the coach, a player gets with the coach, they figure him out pretty quick, you know, and then either listen to him kind of, or they're all in or they're all out. It's just that easy. And he's going to capture him right away because he knows who he's talking about. He's going to make them all better. You know, they're all going to get better because of him. I think he's a once-in-a-generation kind of coach. They just don't come around very often like him. You know, they got this one right. I'm just over the moon on this one. It's great to see Chicago have something like exciting like this happen to him. And that and the quarterback. And, of course, you know, we haven't talked about him, but I think Caleb, when they drafted him, of all the quarterbacks they've had some pretty good ones. But I think he could be just an absolute great player if they got it right with him, too.
Now, once-in-a-generation kind of coach, we know how frequently Caleb Williams himself has been described as a generational talent as a quarterback. It does, at least from those two individuals, the perception of both those guys, it does feel a bit over the moon. But, I mean, it's better than the inverse. Like, I can feel some of you kind of, you know, your shoulders shrugging and you're lurching back a little bit when you're hearing the description of Mike Martz as a once-in-a-generation coach about Ben Johnson. And wait a minute, this quarterback was supposed to be generational. He, you know, looked imperfect as a rookie. Now we got this coach who supposedly he's the generational coach too. Who knows, man? The actual results will be proven out on the field. But you're certainly better off with the talented individuals, with the hottest commodities that are there, especially if they're both thought of as people who work their tails off. And everyone that I've communicated with about Ben Johnson so far says he's a grinder. He's a creative mind who works his tail off at the preparation, at the craft, at the teaching of football itself, specifically offensive football. So, again, I'm not here to tell you any guarantees are there for the Bears. I tried to bring y'all back from the, you know, from the recesses of Super Bowl dreams going into last season. But you got the hottest coaching commodity on the market. You got the guy who was viewed as the number one QB in the draft last year. Bears have some stuff to work with. Now they got to work at it. Let me get another individual on the line here after a timeout who has been involved with covering the Detroit Lions and has a really in-depth sense for what's made Ben Johnson successful so far. We'll get to hour number two, continuing our deep dive into those who have covered and know Ben Johnson. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.